Hi, it's Mark Sienkiewicz. Last month, I had the pleasure of attending the National Association of Plant Breeders annual meeting in Ames, Iowa. As always, I sat down with this year's Borlaug scholars to talk about their career, where they're headed, and why the Borlaug scholarship is of value to them. The NAPB Borlaug Scholars Program strengthens the plant breeding profession by helping support attendance of future leaders at the NAPB annual meeting. Cassandra Newman received her Bachelor of Science in Plant Science with a specialization in plant genetics from the University of Florida. Currently, she is a third-year PhD student at North Carolina State University. She has directly integrated new genomic and phenomic technologies into a peanut breeding program, which previously used only phenotypic recurrent selection for cultivar development. She explained to me exactly what that means and why it is so significant. Enjoy our chat. Well, thank you, Cassandra, for sitting down with me.
Of course, glad to be here.
Now, we're here in Ames, Iowa, for the meeting of the National Association of Plant Breeders. You're a Borlaug Scholar. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Before we get to that, you're a grad student at North Carolina State University, and you have, this is a mouthful for me, you directly integrated new genomic and phenomic technologies into a peanut breeding program, which previously used only phenotypic recurrent selection for cultivar development. Now, from my limited understanding of peanuts, that sounds pretty significant. Can you explain in layman's terms what you did and why it's important?
Of course. So at North Carolina State University, we've got a breeding program for Virginia type peanuts. So those are the peanuts sold for the in-shell market. So you'll find those at baseball games as well as in gas stations for boiled peanuts, stuff like that. And our cultivar development process for those Virginia type peanuts has been done primarily through visual means as well as using pedigree data in the past. Now technology has become cheaper and more accessible to most people, and it presents a wonderful opportunity to update the breeding pipeline. And so the majority of my graduate work has just been piloting and then integrating that technology into both the phenotyping and genotyping side of the program. So for the genotyping side, where I've spent most of my time so far, I've developed a de novo reference genome, so giving our program a reference that is specific to our breeding population. I've also done whole genome sequencing on a panel of diverse lines and aligned them back to that reference genome that I created, and that gives us an idea of the diversity that we're working with in our gene pool. And then using the data from that study, we have been able to identify some of the most important SNPs to target for routine genotyping moving forward. And so what that will allow us to do is to eventually use it in genomic selection, as well as use it in routine studies such as genome-wide association studies. So having a set of markers specific to our population that we can use in order to track and study the variation that we have. And on the phenotyping side, it is a lot. On the phenotyping side, I work with a pathogen called leaf spot, and that was historically assessed on a visual scale, 1 through 10, for disease severity. And as you might guess, visual scales can be very subjective. They can change with the radar or the day that you're collecting the data. So the objective of this side of my project is to really update that into a more high throughput, objective way to collect data. And so I'm looking mostly at canopy characteristics and using UAV-based sensors and deploying those in the field and getting measures such as NDVI and plant health in order to collect data in a more efficient way. And that also increases the accuracy of the breeding process, as well as the studies that we carry out.
Wow, there's so much goes into peanuts. I mean, people, they buy a bag of peanuts or they make a peanut butter sandwich. They don't really think about these things, but we need people like you to actually make that possible.
Definitely.
Now, what's a little known fact about you, something that maybe people are surprised to learn?
Sure. So I would describe myself as a Renaissance woman. I really love picking up new hobbies, new activities outside of my career. One of the ones that I've been focused on recently is quilting. So making large quilts and giving them to family members and friends. So that's something that I love to do in my spare time that I just recently started working with.
And does that help you in your plant breeding work at all? I mean, quilting, I would think it's very intricate and detailed. Yes. And that must help you to be a better plant breeder.
I think my mind gravitates to more detail-oriented projects, whether that be academically or in my free time. So that's definitely true for quilting. I like that it's a very visual hobby, as well as it's practical and can be actually used by people. So that's definitely something that draws me to it.
Now, you've held leadership positions in several community, university, and professional organizations. You're a veteran NCSU graduate student peer mentor. Why is it important to you to be involved in things like that?
So this is a great question. It is so important to connect with people and pass down knowledge, because for me personally, I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have mentors that did that for me. So I think it's really important to pay that forward to the next generation of scientists and people coming up in their careers. I think even in the organizations I'm a part of, you could see during the pandemic where some of those mentorship and community relationships kind of fell apart or weren't maintained during that period of time, and how that's affected the next crop of students. So just seeing that impact kind of shows you how important that mentoring is, and how connecting people is important to bringing everyone up as a community together. And for me specifically, I'm very passionate about advocating for women in science and STEM in general. So being a woman that's mentoring other women or historically underrepresented groups is extremely important to me and something I really enjoy.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, you're a Borlaug scholar. What for you is the highlight of coming to the NAPB meeting this year, and why is this scholarship valuable for you?
Sure. So when I first entered into grad school in 2019, I got an email advertisement for the Borlaug Scholars, and I flagged it right away as something that I wanted to do in my career. So fast forward many years later to now receiving that scholarship, it's just been an amazing opportunity and something that I've been looking forward to for the longest time. In terms of the conference, this is my first NAPB that I've actually been able to attend in person, and I'm just blown away by how tight-knit the community is and all the different interactions that I've been able to make here with people from all different walks of their career.
Well, so nice to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Of course. It's great to be talking to you today.
For more coverage of this year's NAPB meeting, visit seedworld.com/NAPB2022. Thanks for listening.